fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. First leg round of 16 action continues this Wednesday evening in the UEFA Champions League, Europe's premier club football tournament. There are matches in Spain and neighboring Portugal. In Portugal, Porto is at home against Liverpool. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Mohamed Salah, the Egyptian striker who's having a dazzling debut season with Liverpool. The 2017 African Footballer of the Year has scored 22 goals in the English Premier League and 29 goals in all competitions for the Reds of Liverpool. At a pre-match news conference in Porto, Liverpool's German manager, Jurgen Klopp, said his club has been looking forward to the match in Portugal.
We wanted to come here. I don't know, when was the draw? In December? Probably. So it's long ago, if you want, pretty much 2 months. So we had long, it was long enough to wait for the next round in Champions League. But to be honest, last summer we dreamt of it, and now we are here. It's really good. It feels good. It's everything is prepared. And last 16 means 16 really, really good football teams face each other. And Porto face Liverpool, and Liverpool face Porto. That's it.
Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp also says his club needs a positive result in Portugal if the Reds are to make the most of home advantage in the second leg on March 6th.
We need a result. We need to get a result here. But as you can imagine, we believe in Anfield. We really know that Anfield is a place where the crowd can make the difference. And that's what we will want to use in the second game. But for that, we need a result in the first game. So we will fight for everything, for sure. You don't think about deciding the stage already, but it will be hard work, we know that.
Meanwhile, I know many football fans are looking forward to the other UEFA Champions League encounter on Wednesday evening, Real Madrid versus Paris Saint-Germain. The spotlight will surely be on two of football's biggest stars, Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal and Real, and Neymar of Brazil and PSG. And although Ronaldo and Neymar will get a lot of attention in Madrid, Real's French head coach, Zinedine Zidane, says the collective game will be more important than individual duels on the pitch. Last season, Zidane became the first coach in the Champions League era to successfully defend the trophy, and he also led Real to the La Liga title. This season, though, Real Madrid has fallen 17 points behind Barcelona in Spain's La Liga, damaging Zidane's managerial reputation. Zinedine Zidane is facing a French club for the first time since he took charge of Real Madrid in 2016, but he says he has nothing to prove back in his home country. Meanwhile, the attacking trio of Neymar, Edinson Cavani, and Kylian Mbappe have helped power PSG to a comfortable 12-point lead over Monaco in France's Ligue 1 standings. In first leg round of 16 UEFA Champions League action Tuesday, Manchester City sent out another powerful statement to the rest of Europe by thrashing host Basel 4-0 in Switzerland. German midfielder İlkay Gündoğan scored two goals for Man City, and Bernardo Silva and Sergio Aguero had the other goals. Also on Tuesday, Tottenham recovered after conceding two goals inside the opening 9 minutes to draw 2-2 against Juventus in Turin, Italy. Argentine striker Gonzalo Higuain scored two early goals for Juventus, including one off a penalty kick in the 9th minute. Harry Kane, the English Premier League's leading scorer, pulled one back for Tottenham in the 35th minute, and the Danish player Christian Eriksen got the equalizer in the 71st minute. The decisive second-leg matches in the Tottenham-Juventus series and the Man City-Basel series will be played in England on March 7th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. American snowboarder Shaun White won his third career Olympic gold medal Wednesday with a spectacular run in the men's halfpipe event at the Pyeongchang Winter Games in South Korea. The 31-year-old White's maneuvers surpassed Ayumu Hirano of Japan and Scott James of Australia, who won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. At a news conference in Pyeongchang, White was asked what it feels like to win a third Olympic gold medal.
Honestly, it hasn't even sunk in yet. I'm tripping out still. Three-time Olympic gold medalist, man, you know. This, honestly, I'm sure you can tell by my reactions at the bottom of the pipe, but this meant the world to me and my family and my team. And, you know, here doing it for USA again, not only to be an Olympian again, but to be a gold medalist again is just unreal. And I'm really taking this moment to be proud and thankful. And, yeah, it feels great.
At that same news conference in Pyeongchang, three-time Olympic champion Shaun White of the USA was asked about sexual harassment allegations leveled against him. White responded, and I quote, "I know I'm here to talk about the Olympics, not gossip." Wednesday's gold medal run redeems Shaun White's failure to reach the medals podium 4 years ago in Sochi, Russia. After winning gold in 2006 in Turin, and the 2010 Vancouver Olympics to become the sport's biggest star. Shaun talks about his career and returning to the top of the Olympic medals podium.
Gosh, it's just been a journey, you know. Honestly, the disappointments of Sochi, you know, the pipe wasn't that great for me, you know. I just was having a hard time in there, and it was this perfect storm of things where I'd bitten off too much, I feel like, to chew with having doing slope style and doing half pipe and trying to be in a band and, you know, do all these other things in life that I really wanted to do. And, you know, all at the same time where I was slowly losing motivation within the sport, you know, I wanted to pursue other things in life, and it was tough. And so I'm standing there at Sochi with the winning runs in my hands, I just couldn't deliver. It's like today was a deja vu situation of the same thing where I'm standing there, but I'm so proud to say that I've kind of like found the love of the sport again, you know, through my friends, through my family, the people that support me. And I was able to stand up there and deliver the performance that I knew I could.
Shaun White's gold medal on Wednesday also marked the 100th overall for the United States in the Winter Olympic Games. Joining us once again with a sports social media segment is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny and sports fans. Let's get right to it. An emotional Shaun White captured the gold and made history as the first snowboarder to win three gold medals. Winning the gold was a redeeming moment for Shaun after just missing the podium 4 years ago, and that moment was recognized by swimming legend Michael Phelps. In a tweet, Phelps writes, "Let's go, Shaun White. Way to go, man. Nothing like a good comeback, right? Redemption always feels great." Another follower writes, "And he did it in the most exciting, dramatic way possible. It's one of the most riveting things I've ever seen. Congrats, Shaun." There were also plenty of Twitter reactions to previous sexual harassment allegations against Shaun. One tweeter wrote, "Shaun White, a sexual harassment case that you settled isn't gossip. It's unfortunate that you called it that, rather than say you made mistakes. You're indisputably an icon, but so are lots of people who do bad things, no pun intended." Last night's performance helped put the United States in the history books as well. Time magazine tweeted this fact: Shaun White just won the United States' 11th Winter Olympics gold medal of all time. And Sports Illustrated added in a tweet that the United States is now the second nation in history to hit the century mark. It was indeed a big moment. Sonny, we heard from USA Olympic champion Chloe Kim during Tuesday's show. At 17, Chloe Kim is the youngest woman to win Olympic gold in halfpipe snowboarding for the United States. Well, on her Facebook page, Chloe posted two pictures of herself. One as she wipes away tears of joy and another of her holding the American flag. Above them, she writes, "Trying to think of a caption is actually impossible, but all I can say is thank you to everyone who's been there for me since the beginning. I'm so grateful to be surrounded by people I love with all my heart, and so thankful for my family and their never-ending love and support. Glad I could bring home the gold." Many commenters expressed big congratulations in all caps with plenty of heart emojis. Chloe has said she embraces both her American and her South Korean heritage, and some Facebook commenters felt especially proud of their shared cultural connection, calling her victory an American dream. One commenter wrote, "From one Asian American to another, I can't be more proud of you and your family for all the hard work, the sacrifices, and dedication you've endured to reach a gold medal in your parents' homeland. What a magical moment this must be for all of you." So, Sonny, we've seen a lot of firsts in the Olympics, and we're not even finished the first week. Well, I've got one more. Actually, two. American figure skater Adam Rippon and Canadian figure skater Eric Radford are the first openly gay athletes to win a medal for their country in an Olympic figure skating team event. Adam Rippon winning bronze for Team USA and Eric Radford striking gold for Team Canada. A win, one tweeter called, a massive milestone that should be mentioned. After the win, Eric Radford himself tweeted, "This is amazing. I literally feel like I might explode with pride." In a tweet written last year, Adam Rippon had this to say, "I was recently asked in an interview what it's like to be a gay athlete in sports. I said, it's exactly like being a straight athlete. Lots of hard work, but usually done with better eyebrows." And I will let Adam have the last word, because I think he would want it that way. Back to you, Sonny.
All right. Thanks, Gwen. Elsewhere at the Winter Olympics in South Korea on Wednesday, strong winds forced officials to postpone the women's slalom event. That's the third event that's been scratched in the alpine skiing program due to inclement weather.
They're playing
Joining us once again for some National Basketball Association talk is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. As always, pleasure to be here.
Maybe I should begin by saying nothing but net.
Nothing
Mwamoyo.
But net, yes.
Well, you might say LeBron James hit nothing but net on Tuesday night. 37 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. The Cavaliers beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 120-112. This is a new-look Cavaliers team after that big trade they recently pulled off, Mwamoyo. Talk about that and the players the Cavs acquired for our Voice of America listeners.
Now, Sonny, last week, right here on this show, we were talking about how lost the Cavs looked in the past few weeks. No playing hard, no picking up full court, not scrambling, not playing defense. Come trade deadline last Thursday, they blew up the entire roster.
Blew it up.
and shipped half the team away. Isaiah Thomas to Lakers, Channing Frye to Lakers, Jay Crowder to Jazz, Derrick Rose to Jazz. Dwayne Wade.
I thought he was friends with LeBron.
With LeBron James. We thought he would stay. He went back to Miami. What did they get? They got George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, and Larry Nance Jr. And suddenly, they are Eastern Conference favorites again.
Amazing. Amazing they could revamp their lineup so
exactly.
quickly.
And you know why?
What do those new players bring to the team?
And this is what I'm going to tell you. They are new favorites right now because they have a true starting point guard in Hill. They got a more reliable backcourt scoring option in Clarkson. Nance gives them another front court option. So fresher legs, players who can run, and they fit very well in the King's play. The King in his court. That means LeBron James. So it also shows that the Cavs, by doing this trade, they didn't give up on their championship aspirations. They really want to go all the way out to the championship game. And they have been playing very well. I mean, the win last night was big against OKC because that was one of the biggest tests they had since the trade.
And I think one of the tests they had right after the trade, they crushed the Celtics in Boston. I think they beat them by over 20 points. And so are these role players kind of fitting in with LeBron?
They're fitting very, very well with LeBron. LeBron plays with players who fit with him, his style, the way he runs, the way he brings the ball up court. When you have some other big egos on the team, it kind of becomes a problem for LeBron. But this is exactly what he needed. And, for all their geniuses in the front court at the Cleveland, they knew what to do with this team.
And we'll talk more about the NBA All-Star Game, but quickly, LeBron will have kind of his own team at the All-Star Game this coming weekend.
Oh, yes. He's going to have his own team. As Steph Curry is going to have his own team, so it will be Team LeBron and Team Curry in the NBA championship game.
Steph Curry, you mentioned him, Wamoyo. He and the Warriors making headlines this week, not exactly for their play, but for their coaching. Did I say that right? Their coaching.
That's right.
Talk about that. What happened?
Well, what happened was this was Monday night game. They were playing the Suns. So the coach, Steve Kerr, decided the players are going to coach. So all the coaching staff, they gave the clipboards to the players.
Mm.
The coaching staff, all they did was to manage the substitution. But the coaching itself, the plays to run and all that, they were run by Steph Kerr, Green, KD. You know, the players were doing all that. Now, this was a big, big heated subject in NBA talks all week. And I would say I agree with a lot of people who are saying that because the issue became, did Steve Kerr, Golden State Warriors, show disrespect to the Suns? But I think Golden State Warriors is on the way to become one of the greatest basketball players ever.
The team. The team.
Three finals in recent years, two titles. But everybody knows they were not playing very well this season. Mid-season, this is the dog days of the season. But they're not showing the form that they had the last two seasons. So I think in Steve Kerr's mind, he knows these guys, they've heard his voice for three seasons. It becomes kind of a whitewash at some point. So they're not listening to him. So why not give them a taste of their own medicine? Do the coaching. This way, you will understand what it means when the coaching staff tells you to do something.
Listen.
Yeah, so listen. So I think, and mind you, Steve Kerr played and coached under Greg Popovich, one of the greatest minds in basketball history. So I think there is, you could say there was, a system in the madness of Steve Kerr on Monday.
So maybe trying to wake his players up
a little bit. Wake them up,
yeah. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot right now, Momoya, with a little NBA trivia question, and it kind of ties in with that player coaching topic we're just talking about. I believe this basketball great, who celebrated his 84th birthday a couple days ago on February 12th, I believe he was the last player coach in the NBA. They won the NBA title in 1969 when he was a center for the Boston Celtics. Any idea who I'm talking about? Celebrated his 84th birthday this week.
Robinson?
Bill Russell, the great Bill Russell. I'm pretty sure he was the last player coach in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah. you got me there.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but every now and then, I hope our listeners got something out of that. Let's talk about the All-Star Game. One of the players who will be featuring this coming weekend at the Staples Center, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. 15 points and 15 rebounds on Tuesday night as the Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks 97-92. Antetokounmpo will be starting in the All-Star game, although I don't know which squad he's on.
He's on the Steph Curry's squad.
Steph Curry, okay.
Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, James Harden, Al Horford, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, and Karl Anthony Towns. Those are on the Steph Curry's team.
And we're talking about coaches. The Bucks recently made a coaching change, and seems like the Bucks are playing pretty well right now, Memorial.
The Bucks are playing very well, and you know, that brings the Eastern Conference in real, you know, a tight race towards the end, because now you have Celtics. They're still playing well. They're still up there. Cleveland, as we just spoke, they just got their game right. You know, the Bucks, your hometown, you know, favorites.
Go Wizards!
Wizards!
Go Wizards! They've been playing pretty well, too.
They've been playing pretty well, even though they're missing their main point guard. But he'll be back in another 5 weeks. He'll be back.
Now, one point, Momoyo, this All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles, it's not just about the game. They also have these activities kind of surrounding the game. And a quick shout-out for Bradley Beal for the Wizards. He'll be participating in the three-point shooting contest.
He's in the three-point shooting contest.
Can he win it? Do you think he can win it?
Oh, yes. He has a good chance. But, you know, Eric Gordon is still in there, and he's the defending champion out of the Rockets. You have Klay Thompson in there. You have Paul George, Devin Booker of the Suns. You know, he plays for a very lowly placed team, but he shoots very well. So he's a very good chance. But also, you have, I mean, one of the highlights will be the slam dunk contest.
Oh, I love that contest.
Victor Oladipo.
He has ties to both Africa and D.C.
And D.C., having gone to Maryland University.
So he's a good leaper then.
Yes, Larry Nance is in there. Dennis Smith Jr. is in there. And Donovan Mitchell. So that will be a very exciting contest to watch.
Larry Nance Jr., who the Cavaliers just acquired, all you have to do is plug his name into YouTube, Momoyo, and you'll see some spectacular dunks.
Wonderful, wonderful movements.
You mentioned Eric Gordon of the Rockets, Momoyo, and I'm checking the standings. The Rockets won on Tuesday night. They defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 126-108. 9 victories in a row for the Rockets. So another team that is playing some really good basketball.
And this is what worries the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. We just talked about why Steve Kerr, the coach, has been, you know, trying to wake up his players. Houston Rockets are playing very well. They will be a tough contender for Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. And, of course, you throw in OKC. They always up their game when they play Golden State Warriors. The Spurs are always perennial contenders. They, you know, this season, they don't look like they will get all the way up there, but they can give anyone trouble at any one point.
At this point, as we approach the All-Star break, Momoya, you still like the Warriors to defend their title?
I still like them. I still like them. And I think as I've seen Cleveland Cavaliers playing right now, I think we're going to have another repeat finals.
Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. Thank you, Momoyo.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the February 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador to Ethiopia Michael Rayner opened a three-day regional U.S. alumni global health workshop on February 6, 2018, in Addis Ababa. The workshop brought together 22 alumni of U.S. government-sponsored exchange programs from Ethiopia, Lesotho, Malawi, Swaziland, and Tanzania, with the aim of sharing best practices for communicating public health information. The workshop also provided participants with tools to promote health-seeking behavior through the use of data and health communication strategies, and would support the development of a community of exchange alumni who are active in public health. Ambassador Rayner told the participants, "When we fail to provide for the health of our citizens, we feel the pain beyond the effects of illness itself. We see the harm when children are unable to attend school. We count the cost to families when parents are unable to work, and we endure the lost opportunity of lives cut short and of people marginalized or stigmatized by disease. You're here because you understand these challenges and are already making a difference." The ambassador added, "Like you, the United States has long recognized the importance of a cooperative and multidisciplinary approach to tackling global health challenges. Agencies as diverse as USAID, the Centers for Disease Control, the Peace Corps, the Department of Defense, and State Department's Refugee Bureau are working from a variety of angles to improve the health of people in Africa and around the world. All of these agencies are part of the U.S. Embassy team in Ethiopia, working in close coordination with the Ethiopian government, civil society, non-governmental organizations, and the donor community." Ambassador Rayner told the workshop participants that by the year 2050, Africa's population will exceed 2 billion people, with over 70% below the age of 35. Meeting the needs of 2 billion people is not something any of us can do on our own. The United States is committed to doing our part, but it'll take strong partners and strong leaders like you working here on the continent to get the job done. You will also need each other, which is why gatherings like this one are so important, said Ambassador Rayner. You certainly have my commitment of support and that of my colleagues and government.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll speak with Bobby Wine, the outspoken Ugandan member of parliament, is a businessman, activist, humanitarian, and musician. His lyrics often advocate for Uganda's struggling and poor. Bobby Wine joins host Shaka Sali to discuss his role as an artist in African politics.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can't these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.